Evening, Playmates, and welcome to another Naked Footy Show. In the studio tonight, we welcome Town fans Phil Pritchard.
Good evening.
All the way from Claydon. Jeremy Lieben.
Evening.
All the way from, I don't know where you come from.
Henley Road.
From Henley Road.
Very far, very far.
What a journey you had.
Yeah.
And, of course, all the way from the Sticks somewhere, Mr. Phil.
Darkest Holesley.
Darkest Holesley, yes.
I've let him out for the evening.
Exactly, I was going to say.
Yeah, I didn't think Gary Cross old house.
So, a miserable defeat in Wales, but a chance to rectify matters in the upcoming two home games. So we look at that, we'll see what people thought of Luciano Civelli's cameo for the Reds yesterday. I think Phil was there, weren't you?
I presume
you
were. Yeah, I didn't look as cold as him. And, I don't think anyone ever has.
I bet he looked shocked, didn't he? And pretty much anything you lot would like to bring up. So email us as usual at studio@icrfm.co.uk or text us on 0779 700 712. Who would like to start? You went to Swansea. I think you're going to have to start this week, Phil.
I did. It was
long, cold, wet, and miserable.
Did you have problems getting down there?
Actually, I mean, I thought I was. You know, I had kind of my dad ringing me up saying, "You're stupid for driving off there. You lunatic." Yeah. And actually, it was really quite comfortable, easy trip. Really.
Did you go on the day, or did you?
I went up, and it was fine. The trip was perfect. Okay, really, because the Friday night, it wasn't too bad weather-wise, was it? So, most of the worst of the weather was sort of a few days earlier. But
yeah.
Obviously, I drove very carefully.
I've seen your careful driving. sort of a white blur goes past. Yeah.
I thought we were comprehensively outplayed, really, by a better side. And there's not much more you can say than that. Swansea play the kind of football we want to play in the style that we want to play it. And scored, you know, and showed, to quote Martin Amis, clinicism in the box. London feels like darts, and there's a darts player who has clinicism, which is, you know, the ability to get the dart in the hole. We didn't have that striker with Jason Scott. We haven't got that striker with Jason Scotland's clinicism, basically.
Or strength
or power.
Strengthism.
I think it did kind of put a bit of a marker where we are, and where you look at the games where we've not done particularly well at all, which was, I think, probably the worst ones were Wolves at home. Mm-hmm. We were massively outplayed by them. Birmingham away. And I think Swansea probably are probably the third best side, or in that three. They're certainly better than Birmingham were down here. Of the teams we've played this season, I'd certainly put Swansea up there with the best of them. And you know, they're sort of, in a way, and I did this in the paper on Monday, really, the comparison between the managers is something you should do, really, because you've got Jim, who's about, I think, what is he, 38, 37, 38, and Roberto Martinez, who I think is actually only 35.
Yeah.
Martinez became manager sort of 6 months after Jim, and has taken his side up and really got them playing better football at a higher level without spending any money at all in significant terms. I mean, Jason Scotland, I think, cost something like £70,000 or
didn't
something.
Didn't he come from St Johnston or somewhere like
that?
Somewhere
in Scotland, wasn't it? Was it Dundee United or somewhere?
Somewhere middle of the road in Scotland, wasn't it?
Scottish clubs. And they've picked up these players. I mean, I saw Swansea at Histon earlier in the season in the FA Cup, and their best player was that Orlandi, who the right winger, who didn't play on Saturday. They had Nathan Dyer, who came in. He was fantastic. When they played down here, their best player was Ferry Boda, or whatever his name is.
The midfielder. Was he injured on
Saturday? He's injured. He's got cruciate knee ligament injury.
Yeah, so
he's
long
out.
Term,
and yet, with players that you've seen earlier in the season have been their best players, they still absolutely took us to the cleaners, really. And the free kick from Gomez was fantastic. I mean, it really was up there with Lampard and
Ballack.
So there you go. We're all, I'm going to support Swansea for now, I think, having said that. I think, you know, you look at where we are and where they are, and you have to say that Swansea are far more likely to get themselves into the Premier League than we are.
And that's the problem, because they're, if we're going to break into that playoffs, which is looking less and less likely, but if we were ever going to, Swansea aren't even in the top six at the moment, so you'd think we'd have to surpass not only them, but the teams above them. So it's looking like there's going to be one spot up for grabs, that number six spot maybe, but on that evidence, I wasn't at the game, but I listened to it on the radio, and from what I've heard, from what you say and everything, it was just, we weren't really in it at all, sort of.
No, they were the better side without any question, really, without any shadow of a doubt.
That's been a frustration for me for, well, not just since Magilton's been manager, but for a number of years now. I can't remember the last time we went into a crucial away game against a side who we're competing with for a similar goal, whether it be staying up or getting in the playoffs or getting automatic promotion, and we've gone there and A, performed, and B, got a result of any kind, never mind a win. And you can go back to probably the George Burley years, and there's precious few examples. You always used to lose away to Birmingham or to
Wolves. The one that sticks in mind was when we went to Bolton away that time.
That's exactly the next one I was going to suggest.
If we won that, we had a real chance. But then we just got, was it 3-0 down in 10 minutes or something?
Yeah, something dark.
I wanted to leave, but I was on the supporters coach, so I couldn't get. I had to stick around to the end. So,
no, that's exactly it. I mean, I was talking to someone about being a football supporter and supporting Ipswich, and worst game, as it were, that I've endured, and that was probably it. That game at the Reebok in April 2002 was a complete disaster, and we never do well in these crunch away games. We're not too bad at home generally against the better sides. We can normally put on a performance, but away, it's not just been a this season phenomenon. It's been something that's been symptomatic of town for a dog's age.
Mm. The only one I can think of where we did do well was that game.
Well, dogs don't live very long, though, Phil.
That's
to be honest,
true. especially with my driving. that game at Charlton in the promotion year when we went there and they got their trophy and we needed to win that day, didn't we?
But we weren't competing directly against them for that spot,
true,
were we?
That's
they
true.
Were already had their fate sealed.
But the fact that I can pick up that and it was nearly a decade ago.
Yeah, 2000, wasn't it?
Yeah, it does kind of tell a story, really, doesn't it? I mean, even the year when we could have made the Champions League, we went to Derby last day of the season and we probably should have won that. We'd have been a bit better off. But
and didn't we lose at Charlton 2-1 towards the end of that season?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
I think we scored a free kick. Yeah. And, that was that kind of
crunch game, wasn't
it? Yeah,
must win game.
Yeah.
I mean, you can look at other examples as well. The only two that stand out as any kind of result that we've managed to get ourselves against our contemporaries was last season when we drew 1-1 at Wolves, last or second last away game.
Free
kick. And then Sheffield United under Joe Royal when Ian Westlake scored a reasonably late-ish equaliser on a Friday night on Sky. But ultimately, neither of those results did us any favours, I don't think, particularly. And, it just goes to show that we don't have what it takes mentally, possibly, as much as anything in these crunch away games. We can never get what we need from them.
Mm. But there again, we have actually won some away games this year, so we're supposed to be, we can be kind of grateful for that. But even so, I think the games that we've won, Palace being a good example, they've been kind of rear guard actions where we've not really dominated the game, but we've kind of come with a game plan, soaked up the pressure, and then caught them with a good counter attacking game.
Had some clinicalism.
We're not like the George Burley era where we'd go away and we'd absolutely dominate.
Yeah.
We'd look like the home team.
Yeah.
I remember reading in a Watford fanzine once after they went up in, I think it was probably 2001, something around then they went up, and they were saying that they'd not played anyone that dominated the game as much as Ipswich did the year that we went up, or the year before we went up, or something like that. Actually, they went up the year before us, didn't they? So,
yes.
Yeah. And we're not playing like that home, and we're not playing like that away. And, I think the pressure on Jim and the supporters generally are kind of expecting more. And I mean, I don't honestly think that. I mean, I would think that the time is limited for him, and that as soon as it becomes mathematically impossible for us to make the playoffs, I would guess that Mr. Evans will pull the plug, don't you?
Yeah, I think he will. I think.
Well, yeah.
It's hard to know, because we're saying in the studio just before we came on air that with the playoffs you're never that far away from them until quite late on in the season. I mean, I think it was the South End manager, or was it the Colchester manager today, was saying, oh, we've a decent run, we can still make the playoffs, and probably two thirds of the managers in the league are saying the same thing. All of those who are stuck in mid-table obscurity, who aren't down in the depths fighting a relegation battle like our friends up the road, and those who aren't really gunning for a
Gunning.
Those who are not necessarily gunning for a playoff spot who are right in the mix at the moment, or even an automatic promotion spot. If you take, there's 24 teams in the league, take five out from the bottom and, I don't know, maybe another six or so out of the top, that's still two-thirds of the league. They're all saying, yeah, we can get in the playoffs with a reasonable run, whereas at the end of the day, we're not. We're a mid-table side. I think the game against Sheffield Wednesday a couple of weeks ago down here proved that. We were all right in patches, and so were they, but it was a one-all draw between two mid-table sides, and it is a mid-table game of football.
I mean, I think that, I suppose that the playoffs do distort things, because you sort of think you can be doing reasonably well, whereas and be tenth because you're in with a shout sort of thing, whereas 25 years ago, or however long it was, when they introduced the playoffs, you'd be sort of seven places away from chances of promotion.
It's good that they're there, because about the last 15 years for us, we'd have had nothing to play for. There was only one year where we were actually in automatic contention. That was when we finished third in, was it 2004?
We would have gone up automatically in 2000, wouldn't we? And we'd have gone up automatically under Joe Roy in 2005.
Yeah, 2005, that was it. But all those sort of late 90s playoff campaigns that
were always
memorable seasons, weren't they? Yeah. But they may not have sort of given us as much.
Yeah. So the good in some ways, it certainly obviously prolongs the interest in the season for many clubs. But those who perhaps need to make a decision, just delay it, because we're in with a shout. We're only a couple of wins away. I mean, look at the two games we've got coming up: Blackpool and Forest at home. You'd say arguably they're winnable games by anyone's anyone's book. But if we win both of those, suddenly we're only 5 points off them again. And how long do you give it?
But the problem is, I mean, you say we've got to put in a good run. Well, we've got to put in a fairly, you know, I think Chris Rand said in his bit on the website the other day with Mr. Stats, that we'd have to put in championship winning form.
Yeah,
I think two points a game from the rest of, for a third of the season. And really, we haven't, like, averaging that for more than, five games or something like that?
No.
And that's been the...
It's what you said before, like, a step forward is then a step back, or a step forward, a sideways step back.
Yeah.
And then it's looked better recently up until that Swansea game, because what we lost one out of seven in all competitions, and that was the Chelsea game. We didn't play too badly there. But I think that Swansea game was really key, because if we'd won, we would have leapfrogged them, wouldn't we? Even a draw there wouldn't have been the worst result.
No.
To lose it, now they're 5 points
and
ahead
3-0.
Of us. And the manner of defeat. We didn't actually have a shot on goal until on target,
Queen
about
hit
the 80th
right, late on,
third minute or something like that.
Yeah.
But by then the game was gone anyway, so it was...
Yes. Yeah. Have we got... We better get through some...
We have, actually.
Really,
we've got quite a shed load coming in. We've got quite a few coming in. Referring to Phil, Brian Gunn has emailed in. He said he's got yet another player. He's now got 45 on loan.
Really?
Yeah.
It's extraordinary.
Chaz emailed in when you were talking about Swansea. He said, Martinez has presence and clout with the players, but as for Jim, well, you know, usual load of... That's what he's put here.
Do you think it's his contacts, obviously... Because there's a lot of Spanish players there, aren't they? Like, does he have contacts to source these players that Jim obviously doesn't have?
Well, I suppose he knows the market out there.
Yeah.
And the fact that kind of lower division and, you know, kind of second division in championship, the equivalent of the championship, Segunda División, I think it is, in Spain, I don't think that the wages are anything like as high as they are in the championship here. So you can bring in, and I can't remember where people like Orlandi and Gomez and whoever came from, but I imagine that it doesn't cost a fortune to bring them in. I mean, we've done similar, I suppose, with Cito coming in from Racing Club de Ferrol. I expect his wages over there were probably nothing compared to what he got here. But, you know, it's knowing the market. I mean...
I think he knows the lower leagues over here quite well, because didn't he come over here playing for Wigan when he first came over, and then he was at Chester.
He's been here for
so decades. So he's been around the English game for quite a long time. So if you add that to his...
Played for Motherwell as well.
Yeah, to his to his British connections, to his, that's probably where he picked up Jason Scotland.
From his
Scottish connection up there. So, yeah, what with his experience in the English League, the Scottish League, and he obviously is probably still in touch with the domestic scene in Spain, he's built up that network of contacts.
And his dad was a manager as well. Did you know that?
I think I might have done that.
Was a manager, and so he grew up, football's in his blood. I'm actually, you know, the other thing I thought about coming away from Swansea is, you know, if Jim is fired in the summer, and I think, you know, it wouldn't probably be before, or at least when it becomes impossible.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, Swansea's manager would be most welcome at Portman Road.
I don't think he'd take it. I think, why would he want to step down? I mean if we're using Swansea as the marker as to the style of football played in the way we want to play it, with the results they've achieved and the position in the league as almost an ambition, as where we we expected at the start of this season to have been at this stage in the season. The fact that we're miles away and they're in it, he's the project, as it were, at Swansea is a lot further along than the one at Portman.
But the thing is, they haven't got the money to take themselves that next stage further, have they?
No, I guess not.
Do you think there's a similarity between them now in the Championship and us under Burley when we got into the Premier League?
Yeah, I think it probably is.
Sort of playing really, really nice stuff, a lot of pretty much unknown players at that level, kind of storming the division in a way. I mean, you have to think, sort of, if they... Obviously, they're having a good season, but if they don't go up this season or don't make the playoffs or whatever, then will they be able to continue that into next season, or will it teams work out to play?
Colchester had it, didn't they?
Yeah,
and so did
you don't know.
To a lesser extent.
It's difficult to replicate that. I mean, I suppose there is that thing of is he going to get to a point where he's taken the club as far as he can go? I mean, but there was talk this week about him going to Portsmouth, so, you know, we may well have missed the boat on someone on
so
him anyway.
Skipping right through to the Premier, yeah.
Go on, and anything else?
Yes, Claire. We might do the playoffs, so please be positive. Negativity is a typical Town fans trait, and I'm fed up with it. Way,
that
well,
is
well
true,
said.
But then it's true.
Can
but
then we quote the vulture of this
realism as well, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's going to take a lot to get in the playoffs now, or everyone else to collapse. But, yeah, you've got to stay positive, I suppose. You've got to sort of take each game as it comes and say, you know, we're going to get behind them against Blackpool, we're going to get behind them against Nottingham Forest, then see where we are, and it might look a bit prettier.
If we get 6 points, but even then, I still think we'll be...
Well, then we go to, where do we go, QPR away?
It's QPR on the 21st, then we've got Preston, I think, on the 28th.
Preston away, that's another nice long trip. That'll snow again, I reckon.
Those are two tough away games as well, in this league, aren't they?
Okay, right. I'll keep going because there's quite a few of these. Joe, this is from Joe. Evening, chaps. What does the panel think about the recent speculation regarding the sounding out of Glenn Hoddle as a replacement? BBC Sport website had it, as did the Guardian website.
It's two and two being put together because Gorman's here, isn't it? Nothing more.
I would expect so, wouldn't you? I don't know. I mean,
he's been out of management for a long time, hasn't he?
Oh, that's Joe. That must be our man, Joe, from Jojo. Yeah,
he set up his new projects in Spain, hasn't he? And he never has any great shakes with Wolves. He got Swindon and Chelsea playing some decent stuff in the 90s, didn't he? But I don't know.
He knows. He'll be unbelievably well connected as well, Glenn, wouldn't he?
I don't know. Hold on. It's a difficult one, isn't it? I mean, he's not succeeded at Championship level, certainly, when he was with Wolves, did he? So... I think there is an element of two and two being put together because John Gorman's come in. I think, I don't know. The club are very insistent that John Gorman was Jim McGilton's appointment. So, I don't know.
Or do you think that...
I think that's one of the things we'll discover in the summer, perhaps.
Yeah.
Next.
Right, this is just David Beckham. Can I come to Towan when I leave Chelsea, or have I given the Naked Football Show a scoop? Right, my missus is wondering, that's Terry, he's got a problem, so we'll ignore that. Hi Terry, where are we, Neil? Oh, there's a big, big long one with Neil, I can't read that one out, Neil. Neil's a copper, he does a show on this.
Alright, go on, just thrash through a bit.
I can't, Neil, I'll read, I've got some more that were sent in on the Naked Footy website. I might get to Neil at the end, sorry mate. I met your mate, Guy, the other day, talking about the Sky Fairy, that was interesting. Anyway, James Cummings.
Some of this.
Sky Fairies.
The Sky Fairy, yeah, it's sort of, yeah, anyway, we'll go there later. The big man in the sky, you know.
Yeah,
if you believe in that stuff. Right, James Cummings, our man James, who I believe is on the show next week. Where is Shumi at the moment? He's disappeared.
He's and in Turkey.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, playing against Moldova.
Playing tennis.
yes, I know the book. Shumi. Yeah, a lot of people are talking. Why is Shumi not in the side? They seem to make this decision, and I don't know whether I'm the only one who sort of noticed this. Before, we sort of changed our midfield for the Coventry game. And they played.
Coventry away, yeah.
They put, I think it was Norris and Miller in the centre, was it? And
yeah, and they had Stead. Oh, it was five.
Yeah, that's right. They played Stead
on one side
and Haynes on it. But the thing was that they put two sort of running midfielders in the middle. Do you know what I mean? Basically, just two box to box midfielders. Mm. They didn't have sort of someone sitting in the way that Schumi usually does.
Yeah.
Or
a passer
or
like Garvin
in the way that he kind of plays more, certainly for Republic of Ireland and certainly for Town on Saturday. Playing sort of behind the front two or whatever. They seem to have got this thing of having a lot more legs in midfield, which has meant that Shumi hasn't been in the in the running, I suppose.
He just seems to be, like, he has a spell where he's in, then he's out, and he's almost forgotten, and then he's in it.
Well, I think that's what a lot of people would say that about a lot of players.
Danny Haynes is a good example of that. Any one of the forwards, they always get a little run of a few games, and then out they go, and someone else comes in. Walters, to a lesser extent, but he has it sometimes as well. Anyone who's playing on the left, namely Alan Quinn, is been in and out. So now Chiavelli's come in. I guess there's even more.
Didn't he have towards the end on Saturday? Didn't he have Quinn and Norris? Didn't he have Quinn on the right, Norris on the left?
Yeah,
which
probably,
is at one stage, because I was listening to him.
Yeah, I think that's right, because he moved. Didn't Norris come off, didn't he, fairly early on? I can't remember
I forget.
But yeah, he has mixed around everywhere. I mean, we've got a lot of midfield players who play all over the midfield. Norris, I think, played most of his football at Plymouth on the right, but also played in the centre and played on the left. Then you've got Quinn, who's played a lot of his football at left midfield, but he's actually right footed. He's also played in the centre and also played in the right, and he's also played at left back, hasn't he? He used to play for Sheffield United a lot at left back. So it's a lot of players who are kind of perhaps jacks of all trades and
masters of none.
Masters of none, perhaps. So I don't know if jacks of all trades is appropriate.
I'm not sure that's English. won't finish your. Yeah, you've hijacked James's email, which is probably just as well. Otherwise, we won't get through any. Pabs and Lee, would any of the panel bring back? Well, I presume he's talking about the kids from Lone to pep up our withering attack.
Well, I think Rhodes, I would.
Jordan Rhodes, yeah.
Well, Jordan Rhodes scored again yesterday.
Five
and
six now,
minute,
isn't it?
I just think we haven't. It's the clinicism thing again, isn't it? Coming back to that. We just haven't got anyone who's got that nous for getting the fox in the box, as the cliche goes.
Billy Clark?
I think if you're going to bring back either of them, I think
you'd have to bring Rhodes.
Bring back Rhodes. And I think Rhodes is more likely, because I think that they'll probably release Clark at the end of the season anyway.
Well, some of our best football last season, though, was played last season at home last season. The first half of the season was when Billy Clark had a longish run on the left of midfield. So maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe he's a part to play in that, because a bit of pace down the left or from anywhere in the side is something we've probably been missing over most of this season.
I think he's one that you could say. I mean, what I think about him, really, Billy Clark, is that the chances he's got with Town have been mainly on the left midfield, where he's actually a striker. And, you know, you look at his record for Town, I don't know what it is, how many games he started, probably 20 or something like that.
Yeah.
And he scored very few goals to that, but mainly because most of his appearances have been left midfield.
And, you can say likewise with Danny Haynes as well.
Yeah, he was a striker and then converted to a right midfield.
To a right wing. I mean, he's a forward, isn't he? And he's another one who's getting used because he's quick. Let's stick him on the side and give him a bit of space to run at.
Mm.
But it doesn't always work.
No. He'll end up back as a fullback, I suppose, like Gus Udenbeck.
Yeah.
One from Brendan. It's interesting your mention of the Ipswich so-called project in comparison to Swansea. We haven't had a project since Sheepshanks' five-year plan in the Burley era. Ever since relegation 8 years ago, our only aim has been immediate promotion every season to the exclusion of all else. We need to think longer term. The sooner players like Rhodes, Trotter, Clark, etc. are brought up to Championship standard by given a run of games, the sooner they'll exceed it. The journeyman pros we keep signing or loaning are already at the peak of their powers and clearly aren't good enough.
The problem is, for a manager like Jim, he's been given a great stack of money to get a team promoted. And so you've got to get the team promoted, and that's the main focus. It's not kind of developing young players, although obviously that's the Ipswich tradition. You know, you as a manager always look at kind of winning, you know, matches after matches, not taking a risk by playing, I don't know, I'm trying to think, Kurt Robinson or someone at left back to try and see whether they'll make the grade. So the situation now is very different than it was three, four years ago with when Garvin and people were making their debuts, because there was literally no choice, was there, at that point?
Yeah. I think that comes under probably three different things you can say about that. You can say, firstly, the reserves league's no good anyway. That's why they all
got by last night. 9-2, Bowditch scored four, didn't he?
So that's one. Another thing is this big pressure on instant results means, like you say, you're not going to take the chance of putting the youngsters in case it goes wrong. And credit to Sheepshanks, actually, the five-year plan, when he first stated it, and he said, ultimately, we want to get the club back into Europe, sort of choked on the cornflakes. But he did it.
It happened.
A year ahead of schedule. But I think also, as well, I mean, everyone's talking about the pressure for immediate results, which is where the pressure on Jim's coming from. I mean, I've heard a rumour, how true it is or not, I guess, remains to be seen, that he's got until 10 games into next season. So whether how the effect is on season tickets, that's going to be or not, I guess we'll see. But if Marcus Evans is that serious about us becoming a profitable venture for him, then he wants us to get promoted. Mm. And he's going to fund what it takes out of his vast bank vaults of cash to do that. And a few season ticket sales here or there probably won't make that much difference. And if we start doing well and we're up the top and challenging for the top two spots come Christmas time, all the people who don't renew the season tickets will probably come flooding back anyway.
And get their half-season tickets.
Quick,
we're running out of time. Grant?
Jamie Cottage, having whittled away the $12 million on an underachieving squad and fan pressure growing, surely Jim realises if he doesn't make at least the playoffs, the game is up in the summer. Therefore, I can't understand him just making the one January signing. The man that's come in isn't match fit and won't be ready for some time yet. That's not Chiavelli's fault, I might add. It might be the case that Evans shut the door on the bank vault. This would contradict Bowden saying there will be money to spend in the summer. Two or three players were needed that could have made an immediate impact, pushed us up into the top six and saved Jim's job. As it stands, he'll be gone in 4 months.
Or may have just confused things even more, because it's like the squad's huge, isn't it?
I think there's an element of the fact that they're not willing to pay, increase the wage.
But you were talking about him not putting the kids in. Surely you'll know this, Phil, because I won't. But were we not in a higher position last year by putting the kids in with your Trotters and your Rose and your Clarks?
I think we're probably about three or four places above, weren't we? I can't really remember.
We finished seventh, but where we were at this time of the season, I don't remember. Because he made a lot of signings in January. Norris.
Yeah, Norris.
But before we had money, we were doing actually slightly better.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
when you had to play the kids.
May we'd be better off had Mark Sims never come in.
We wouldn't, because we'd have sold Walters and Garvin and whoever.
Oh, that's true.
Anyway, I don't think, anyone could say that this season has been anything other than a kind of letdown, really. And whether we're better or worse, we're in with less of a chance of making the playoffs at this stage than we probably were last year. Although I think the division is generally sort of a bit better this year.
Like Wolves, Swansea, Cardiff, Birmingham generally, Reading, they're all very, very strong sides. Someone made the point at the start of the season that we had this £12 million to spend and we've got a big money man behind us. But a lot of the clubs in the division have either got Premiership money or a benefactor of some kind, or they've got their backsides into gear. Like a club like Swansea, suddenly a Hull, another example, they don't come and just take off from nowhere. They get a new stadium, they get a manager in who gets galvanises the team, and suddenly they fly up the divisions like nobody's business. And you get some of these left field clubs like Swansea, Hull, Wigan a few years ago, although obviously Dave Whelan had lots to do with that, and they sort of overtake the likes of Ipswich, Leicester, Southampton, teams who
Charlton,
who have been established top flight sides in the past and were looking who most people would expect to be making the change to get back.
Histon will be next.
Right, on that note, on that shocker, Histon will be next. Yeah, it's time to go. Goodbye.
Could we say that we're off to the reception for the...
It's Till I Die, which apparently has got great reviews.
It has, so far everyone thinks it's fantastic. Pre-press, I haven't actually seen it yet.
No,
it's got a foreword by Sir Bobby, you can buy it by www.twtd.co.uk/trustbook.
Well, those are the days. Trust me, you can't bother with all that.
TWCD.co. You'll see it, the story, when you get there.
It's going to be on sale on Saturday as well, isn't it?
And it's on sale around the ground. They're going to have a seller by Sir Ralph where TWTD is sold when we've actually got one to sell.
Brilliant. Okay, cheers. Thanks from Jeremy.
No worries.
Thanks from Phil.
Thanks very much.
And thanks from Phil.
Thank you.
And thanks to Neil for that great email. If you want to come on the show, mate, it'd be good. Have a copper on the show. To abuse. Till next week, have a good one, everyone. Take care. Bye bye.